Brethren and Sisters in the Faith, Battle Creek, Michigan, December 10, 1889. To whom it may concern. Dear brethren and sisters in the faith in the Seventh-day Sabbath and in the soon appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have heard that Elder D.M. Canwright has made statements that I had that faith and confidence in him that I urged him to become president of the General Conference. Elder Canwright has stated falsely. I have not considered that he was a man qualified for any such position. I have considered he was unsafe to take charge of even one of our state conferences. When he made so humble confessions at the camp meeting in Jackson, Michigan, I hoped that the repentance was such as needed not to be repented of. But I knew that when a man has been so often overcome by the enemy, he is in constant danger. We rejoiced to have Elder Canwright clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, not because we could not get along without his influence, for he has for years been a man who has caused us great perplexity and many burdens, but I rejoiced because the lost sheep was found. You will see in the letters written to Canwright in Testimony No. 33, now Volume 5, pages 516 to 520, 571 to 573, 621 to 628, that the character of these letters written to him contradicts his statements. These letters of reproof always annoyed him, but I have not dared to refuse to give him the light in a measure that was given me for him. I knew he could not bear it all, and I have watched and waited to see him alone and talk about these things with him. I did not feel at liberty to write, knowing that he could make a wrong use of them, by perverting and misstating them. But the letters in Testimony No. 33 have been sent to him. By these letters, all can see that he is not the man we had such implicit confidence in. I wrote to those in responsible positions that it was not safe to have him occupy the position, even for a short time, as teacher of the students, for he was not a deep-thinking man. He made assertions for evidence and truth when he wanted to make a point, but he would not leave the correct impressions upon the minds of the students. He was altogether too superficial. He jumps at conclusions and does not dig deep and lay the foundation sure. We have known the worth of the soul and tried to save the souls of all, not by pushing off, but by dealing faithfully with them and drawing them back to the fold of Christ. He has made the most false, wicked statements in reference to my husband being a man of vile conversation. This is a statement he must meet in the judgment. In the public walks and the most private walks of life, his mind and lips were uncorrupted. But what need I to make these statements? It is a known fact that he has not regard for truth and has been proved in falsehood again and again, and will make any statement to accomplish his purpose. His course is crooked, like the adversary of souls. He is under his special control. Please look at Testimony No. 33. Page 29, for Professor Ramsey, now Volume 5, pages 501 to 505. This was given some months before he renounced the truth. Page 44, Testimony No. 33, Volume 5, page 516, was given while I was in Switzerland. He made no response. I cannot find the original, but it was before the General Conference. After the conference, he gave up the truth. See Letter to Canwright, page 149, 621. An impressive dream was given me while in Switzerland. Testimony 33, page 99, volume 5, page 571. Unholy ambition. Testimony 33, page 114, volume 5, page 586. Was for Professor Ramsey. This was sent to Professor Ramsey before anyone had the least idea of his intention to give up the truth. I leave this with you. I do not want, unless necessary, that the case of Oviatt shall be made public. I have a response from him which acknowledges the testimony, but I do not want, for the sake of his wife and children, to make it public. I pity the man sincerely, and if I could do anything to recover either of these men from the snare of the devil, I would do so. Oviatt takes a far better position than Canright. Although both of these men have made many falsehoods against me and our people, I am not embittered against them and do not wish to injure them, for I bear in mind that there is a judgment when every man's work will be brought in review before God, and every man will receive of the great judge according to their works. Some letters that I have written to him I cannot find, but I think these will answer every purpose. I wish all these letters returned to me.